Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, for the first time in a while, there's no Loki and it's Thursday. And what do we do?
What do we do, Jeff?
Oh, wait, there's trailers and trailers and stuff to talk about that's like casting rumors and...
Daddy might be cast as Reed Richards. Daddy might be cast.
All that and more of this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeffy. What's going on, bud?
Jeffy, okay.
Jeffy.
That's my name now. Jeffy!
Smoke a Jeffrey. Stroke the wall. Know what I'm talking about?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Get him to the Greek. It's a great movie.
Great movie.
Jeffrey's just some bloke from down the road, isn't he?
So I just got back from my niece's roller derby practice.
And how'd that go?
It's pretty good, pretty good. At one point, I looked up and all of the kids were up, you know, skating around the rink. And I'm looking for my niece and I spot her lying on the floor.
No, oh.
She hadn't been hit. There was no injury. She was just taking a break, lying in the dead center of the roller rink. Like, not well. See, not even the center.
It's the best
center
place.
Would make sense because that's like the no man's land. She was like in the middle of where everyone was skating. Like,
she was an obstacle.
She was an obstacle. Not that many people were skating over there, but still, I was just like, get up. Like, no, you don't do that. You don't, like, if you got to sit down, go off the rink. Like, what the hell? This was pretty funny.
Oh, aren't kids just the.
Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good. I will say, I think...
I can't decide which word to use.
Yeah. They're just, man. They're just. That was enough. it was funny. Her roller derby coach came over and talked to me. And we were talking about stuff. And I was like, yeah, I got to get home because I got to record a podcast tonight, you know. And she's like, oh, you do podcasts? What on? And I told her Marvel. And it's so funny when you just happen to find another one. Like another Marvel person, you know?
Yeah. A Marvel person out in the wild.
Yeah. I do like a, when I tell them like, oh yeah, I do a podcast about Marvel, Marvel movies and TV. And they're like, oh, okay. Yeah. I've heard of those. You know, like, we're like, yeah, I've seen a couple. I saw Iron Man or like whatever. There's just like a lot of people that have seen enough of it to know what you're talking about. But it's so funny when someone's like, oh, like
they just get another so super fan.
Yeah. It's fun. That was fun. Good time.
Yeah. Most of the time what I encounter is like, oh man, there's so many of those. It's so hard to keep up.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if you watch all of them right when they come out, you don't have to worry about it, scrub.
Yeah.
I don't make friends.
Not at least non-Marvel loving friends, that's for
sure. That's true. That's true. And is there any other kind of friend you really want?
No, of course not. Of course not.
Business contacts? No.
No way. No
Only
way.
If they're Marvel fans.
Well, I mean, you know, you can pretend to be friends for business reasons, I guess.
Oh, God.
That's
I can
fake.
Be cordial, maybe.
Yeah. But we know you're being fake if they're not a Marvel fan. We got new trailers. Well, first off, big rumor going around.
Big rumor,
it seems to be, it's one of those rumors, you know, you see these rumors popping around and you're like, oh... They've been rumoring stuff for months or whatever, but then you hear a rumor and it's being reported so widely it just feels true. Oh, this is probably one of those that are true, and it just feels right. And I think this is one of those.
Are you talking about Space Daddy being
Space Daddy
being God. Oh, I can't even say the friggin' sentence. It's so funny.
Zombie daddy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Or just no. Pop media daddy.
Yeah, the current pop culture's genre daddy, Pedro Pascal, is being rumored as Reed Richards. And I gotta say, I freaking love it. I love it so much.
You were saying before the cast that you hated it because he's not white. I specifically remember the racism.
Jeff calling me out on the podcast. I did say that as a joke, that I said there's no way I could make that joke on the podcast because people don't know me. Not everyone listening knows I'm joking.
Okay. I have a problem with that.
I just went full MAGA on it. It was just...
Yeah. Make Marvel great again.
I have a bit of a problem with this Pedro Pascal thing. Isn't Reed Richards white? No, I love it. I love it so much. I think he's a... I just love everything Pedro Pascal's been doing. I really like him as an actor.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah. And he can really play the serious, but he can also play the... silly, like that movie he made with Nicolas Cage, where he's playing like Nicolas Cage's super fan.
The Unbearable Weight.
Yes. Yeah. It's so good. He's so silly in that movie. And it's so much fun. But it also has a real heartfelt thing in his stuff that he just like can really connect with the other actors and with people in the audience. I love this idea. I think it's great.
I love, you know, from like the thing that he does in Mando so well is playing the straight man when everything else is blowing up around him, or you know,
yeah,
other people are trying to be silly and he's just like, I mean, it helps to have the helmet on, but he's just kind of deadpan most of the time, and like he sells that delivery so well, and I think that is going to go real good with Reed Richards.
How much do you think he's under that suit?
In the first season, he was under that suit a lot.
I think so too.
In later seasons, it was not him.
Right. I feel like since he's gotten more popular of an actor, it's probably mostly just his voice.
Yeah.
Like, right?
I know in the third season, he was busy doing like The Last of Us and other stuff. So he only did voice, and the Mando's body was that of Latif Crowder.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't. I'm glad you know that because I did not. But I'm just assuming. There's no way he's under there. Like, yeah. It's genius to create a character. Yeah, I'll be a character that's mostly a voice. But
yeah, you never see his skin ever. Yeah. He's like completely clothed head to toe. Doesn't matter who you put under it.
Yeah,
kind of like Darth Vader.
I can't say it enough. I think it's a great call. I think they should do it. Like I joked about him not being white, but like. Well, I joked off cast, then you joked on cast. But,
I didn't joke. I've spitting straight facts. You said.
I did, in fact. But I think his look works really well for Reed. Like, he has the...
Yeah, he's got like the salt and pepper.
Salt and pepper thing going. Like, I see pictures of him with glasses that look really good. I don't know. Like, he just looks like he could be a scientist in a lab, but also be stretchy, crazy... Reed Richards. I don't know, man. This looks seems great. I think it's a great call. I don't know if it's true. Could just be a rumor, but I really hope it's true.
I agree. Him with anybody else on screen is always like, he does so well with everybody else I've seen him with. It would just be like, oh, actually, thinking on it, do you remember him in Game of Thrones when he was doing all the flippy, spinny, crazy?
He was so good in Game of Thrones.
The Serpent versus the Mountain, I think is what it was.
Oberon.
When he was Oberon, Oberyn Martell. That scene actually would, like, that makes me want him as Reed and then have Thor Bjornsson as the Thing.
Ooh.
Because they already have great screen presence together as, you know, like, big guy versus small guy.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the Mountain as a Thing. I don't know enough about his acting except for the sort of like stone-faced acting he did in that, which I guess stone-faced, sure.
You're not selling me.
I did kind of walk into that one. But like, I think I really like a good like warm
Yeah, Ben Grimm has to be juxtaposed as like the rocky exterior that looks like he is a hard person, but he's a big softy inside.
Exactly. Ooh, you know who that makes me think of?
Michael Chiklis.
Good call. I don't know. He can't do it because he's already done something, but it makes me think that like kind of reminds me of Dave Bautista a little bit. Like I could totally see him being the like hard exterior, warm undertones.
Yeah.
Like some of the other movies he's been in or whatever. Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah. I mean, he's already got that with Drax. It's really just like, okay, do that again, but Rocky.
Yeah. This time it's rocks instead of tattoos.
Yeah.
But in a different universe, in the slide to the left, multiverse, Dave Bautista could be Ben Grimm. I don't know, man. I'm totally down. Anyway, so other than that, but we got to keep talking. We got to keep moving because we got so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And we want to get to some of the Marvel's feedback, which is mostly what we're going to do today. But then they dropped all this stuff. The Pedro Pascal of it all is the rumor. But we also have a What If Season 2 trailer.
Oh, man, I'm so excited about that show.
Yeah, you are. Me too, man. Me too.
That implies that you're not. What's wrong, Matt?
No. Yeah, I've really changed this week. I care that all the characters are white, and I don't like animated, and I don't like Marvel anymore. Just really, really changing it up.
Oh my god! Do you not like it because the Watcher is voiced by a non-white man?
Of course. So this What If trailer.
This What If trailer is so great.
Yeah, it looks really fun. The animation looks awesome. And like, just, we have talked over the years about how cool it would be to fill in the gaps of some of the older, like some of the older teams that might have teamed up, like a different Black Panther and Hank Pym. We've talked about all this, the Winter Soldier I never expected, and also Mar-Vell, like, oh my goodness.
Yep.
Like all those teaming up and apparently taking on a Peter Quill that never got kidnapped, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like the main stuff in that particular trailer was Peter Quill came into his power, like his celestial power early without being kidnapped. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or, huh? So since they're sprinkling in mutants now. In other verses, do you think it'll be like a what if Peter Quill was a mutant instead of a celestial?
I don't know, man. I really don't.
Huh.
The whole idea of how they're going to structure this, like we know now that they've already got mutants with Amon Vellani, and now you've got Miss Marvel, and then you have this wonderful post-credit sequence, spoiler alert for Captain Marvel, which we're going to be talking about a lot on this episode, so you know. Be aware, spoiler alert, but you've got the post-credit sequence with like old school Beast. So like it feels like they're going pretty deep with the X-Men right now. So yeah, they could, but it like kind of begs the question of like, what are they going to do with the series in general? Cause last season they kind of like used it to set up the idea of the multiverse and the Guardians of the Multiverse and all of that.
Yeah.
Now that the multiverse is sort of cracking apart and there's all these, they show it in this trailer, like all the broken glass, he says it got a bit twisted. So I'm assuming we're going to see some more incursions and, what does that mean?
I mean, I think we're going to see incursions happening because of what was going on in Doctor Strange. We're going to see a lot of Kangs because of what was happening in Loki and Ant-Man. And we're going to see a lot of crazy things. I'm really thinking that we're going to see some wild out there stuff because of like they introduced the concept right with the first season and things weren't like that out there. Like maybe zombies was a little bit out there, but they didn't introduce anything that was like crazy, absolutely bonkers. As far as a change that could have happened in the verse. But I think that now that people have kind of been warmed up to, like, multiverse means something is different in other verses, like, let's go farther away from, you know, the standard, from the sacred timeline, so to speak. But, like, let's go as far as we can in a direction. And, like, you know, it could be, I mean, I don't know of anything that's, like, a super crazy story from comics, but, like, they have that option, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm looking forward to having that option. Plus, when Uwachi was toward the end, when the What If logo came into frame and, like, it spun around him, you saw Captain Carter was there, standing
with
right
him,
beside
yeah.
him. So, like, we get to revisit some of, you know, those old favorites from the first one.
Yeah, it's weird. He's saying that I don't usually make sequels, but I'll make an exception or something, which is really weird for the Watcher to say. Like, it's a weird thing for the Watcher to say. I have no idea what that means.
Right?
He makes movies?
So,
we've got some sort of super team, as we mentioned, fighting some sort of army that looks, they look almost like Sandman from, like, Spider-Man. I don't know. They're, like, all these like creatures that look exactly the same, but they don't look like Sandman. They just look like a different person if they were Sandman or something.
Sure.
Because it all looks, all those look like the same person. I don't know if you've freeze framed it, but they're fighting all, like, an army of, like, sand colored people with, like, sorry, there I go again being racist again. they just, like, their clothes and everything are just look like they're colored as sand, and then it's but it's the same,
like, they're constructed like the of person. Sand.
Yeah. Weird. And they're on sand, so I'm assuming that's what it is.
Sure. They're probably, I mean, it could be a Sandman kind of thing. It could be really honestly any number of things like that where, you know, somebody has some sort of power over either sand or telekinesis or you know, and or reality, you know, like,
could be a real mummy situation.
Yeah, yeah, God, Imhotep could be
be the big bad of season two.
Something I noticed in the What If trailer, when the team featuring Hank Pym and King T'Chaka and Mar-Vell, Wendy Lawson, Dr. Wendy Lawson, when that team is like landing and doing their super pose, about 24 seconds in, there's somebody in a blue costume.
Yeah, I was wondering about
similar,
that, if you might have a...
Similar to Hank Pym.
Yeah, it looks like a Hank Pym suit, but it's not. It's blue and somebody else.
They're shrinking
Are
rather
they,
than growing.
Or, I thought so the first time I watched it. The second time, it looked like he was just regular sized. But yeah, I wonder if that's Bill Foster.
It is Bill Foster.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yep. Bill Foster in comics is, like, blue-themed, and Project Goliath that he's a part of, like, that is...
Nice.
Like, his suit is blue.
That's awesome. Then we have our first, in a long time, reference to Shang-Chi.
Oh, man!
With
the dragon!
Yeah.
The Great Protector!
Which, that is also the previous generation... With Shang-Chi's parents.
Yep.
So, like, does that mean they'll get involved in that same kind of older super team?
I don't know. I mean, it looked like his mom and his dad, Shang-Chi's mom and dad, were fighting against Odin.
It did, you're right. Then there's also a shot of Thor. But it's only for 3 frames. I like had to pause it. You can see him standing there with the blue guy and one other character. T'Chaka, I believe.
Where was that?
It's when they're fighting the sand guys. yeah, around 1 minute, 1:10, something like that. But it was like, it's literally 3 frames. I had to like go frame by frame to see it was
yeah.
Thor. You can see the red cape in the shot before, but then you can see that it's Thor in the freeze frame.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the, you know, the Mjolnir throw.
And yeah, at first I thought it was going to be Odin because, like, we saw Odin in another shot.
Oh, because Mjolnir and older team.
Yeah,
but... Oh, snap, but do. So right before... Yeah, that blue and white is... That's Bill Foster and King T'Chaka and then Thor, because he's been alive that long. But right before that, there's a frame of someone with glowing eyes and beautifully feathered hair. Like, their face tilting up, like, looking up. It looks like Ego's human version.
Ah, so maybe Ego came to get it himself. What if Ego came himself? Or something, like, you know, came to Earth himself to pick up Peter. But it doesn't... I saw that shot. It does kind of look like... You're right, it does look like Ego. Yeah, I thought that was a lady at first. I guess the beautifully feathered hair. But also the lips. It looks very feminine. But then the very first shot looks a lot like Ego. So yeah, maybe Ego comes and activates Peter. And then they have to fight. It's pretty cool. And then these sand people are somehow related. Like, if Ego is... like living here, maybe he's starting to control this planet, kind of like he did with his planet.
That would be my guess, because, you know, he was able to just make stuff.
Yeah.
Peter was like, now that I'm gonna make some weird looking stuff, man.
Yeah. Now that I say that, those clones look a lot like Ego. Those like clones that are sand colored. Like, they look a little like Ego looked in the...
Oh, they do!
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the original. So, yeah, that must be what's going on there. It's like 1,000 Egos are fighting. That's cool. That's cool.
We nailed it. God, we're good at this.
Oh, man. And then there's a shot that I really intrigues me of, I think it's Yondu's arrow, or just an arrow, going through what looks like a hologram of Yondu's head and then being caught by Nebula.
Yeah, I saw that, and it's definitely that whistle-controlled arrow.
Okay.
But an interesting thing there, that nebula that catches that arrow has the Nova Corps.
I was going to say, I thought that looked like Nova Corps. Okay, yeah. Cool. Oh, so, like, man.
What if Nebula was part of Nova?
Yeah.
Novebula? I don't know. Probably not.
And then there's of course the great Marvio cart scene.
What?
Marvelio? Marvel cart?
Marvelio?
Marvelo cart? Marvelo cart, maybe.
Marvelo cart.
That's probably the best one. Should have workshopped this ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah, you should workshop that. But you can edit it, so it's like...
Oh, yeah. There we go. I'm sure I'll find one that sounds perfect in there of me just going, how was that Marvelo cart scene? There it is. We'll cut all the rest of this.
Yeah. I love that we get Jeff Goldblum voicing Jeff Goldblum. I mean...
Yeah. The Grandmaster once again.
Yeah, who is that handsome dog?
Some sort of race. So far,
yeah, it looks like a death race.
Seems like we have a Nebula as Nova. We have this old school team fighting Ego. We have a battle between Shang-Chi's parents and Odin.
Yep.
There's also one that
Hulk with a beard.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that one yet. That's great. There's also one that just shows Steve Rogers in his Wakanda armor fighting Thanos, who has looks like all six Infinity Stones. Like, it looks like he's got them all on the glove.
Well, it looks like Steve is punching one off.
Yeah, exactly. So I wonder if this is like, what if they won, or what if Steve Rogers took out Thor? I got distracted. What if Steve Rogers took out Thanos?
Oh, yeah, he's punching the time stone off,
yep.
Is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't know if you heard us talking this week, never mind, I know you didn't. 10 years running on this podcast, still hadn't listened to a one.
You know I don't do that.
but the discourse around whether, spoiler alert for Loki, everybody, If you haven't seen it yet and you're listening to this show, what are you doing with your lives? I'm just kidding. We're glad you're here, but skip the forward 30 seconds.
But seriously, what are you doing with your life? I'm glad you're here. We can fix it now.
With the way Loki ended, is it possible that the time stone is green because of Loki?
Oh, wow.
And in the comics, it's not green. In the comics, it's orange, and they moved that one to the soul and made the green one the time stone. And then, like, I'm sure it's not that. Like, I know it's not. I know they never planned it that way, but it's kind of gorgeous, right? Like, he's this time creature that's holding together all the timelines. Like, you think about how they say it's needed for the correct flow of time. Like, and he's sitting there stitching the loom together using his green power, and the time stone in every universe is doing that to, like, make the time work correctly in that universe. Like, I love it. I love this theory.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's my theory is that Feige planned it that way, the like all from the beginning, all along.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
This is the this is the grand tapestry that's been woven for us.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, that was just Doctor Strange. Was that like 4 or 5 years ago? Nah, probably 6 years ago. I don't know. Doctor Strange was when we first saw the Time Stone. It wasn't that long ago in the course
like
of
like 7 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is Beardo Thor doing? It looks almost like a
Beardo Hulk.
I keep saying Thor when I see Hulk. I don't know why. It's the beard. It's what if Thor? What if Hulk had Thor's beard? That's what that episode's called.
No! Oh my God! Sorry.
What is that structure behind him? It looks.
That's Asgard.
I thought so. That's what I was trying to say. It looked like Asgard. At least an Asgardian structure behind him. It looks like an explosion. Yeah. What do you think?
I think that's what if Thor got Hulk's power? Or, like, what if Thor became Hulk?
Oh. Oh, yeah. I was joking about it being his beard, but I think you're right. I think that that actually looks.
It looks like he hurled Mjolnir and then turned around and was just raging.
Yeah, no, you're right. That doesn't look like puny Banner. That looks like Thor. Thor Hulk. Thulk. Or whore, if you will.
I think I might. Like, that structure behind him looks like it's being blown up.
Yeah, totally.
Like he's thrown Mjolnir into it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Looks wild.
It's so happy that we're going to get one of these per day.
Right? Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about that. The big headline from this whole trailer is they're dropping December 22nd, which is real soon. Real soon, everybody.
Real soon.
And
red alert, it is next month.
And they're dropping one a day. It says unwrap one episode every day, like for the Christmas season. Like, that's super fun, man.
The Marvel Advent calendar that we all want.
Yes, absolutely. And so, I can't wait. And you mentioned earlier that they might have a lot of Kangs in this. I hadn't really thought about that, but like, if anything else is going to, like, if they're done with Jonathan Majors and like, they're not going to do more with him, we've talked a lot about that.
Yeah, there's rumor that they're dropping the Kang storyline.
Right, exactly. But if anything's still going to have him in it, it would be this, because animation takes so long to make. That it's very possible that they were, like, still planning to do Kang Dynasty when this was made, you know?
Yeah.
So, maybe we will get some more Kang stuff. What do you think of this, like, it's Ant-Man, but sword fighting in, like,
old times? Yeah, I was just looking at that.
Oh, and it looks like Steve Rogers, it looks like?
Yes.
It looks like,
It looks like 1602. Like, it looks like, okay, so there's a comic, another verse or whatever. It was written by Neil Gaiman. It was the 1602 verse. Basically, it's Marvel characters in the year 1602.
Okay.
And I freaking love that idea, because, you know, one of the main things is that Donald Blake is like a super pious monk or a priest, like. He's having to kind of reconcile that he has the spirit of Thor, who is a heathen god, a pagan god, inside him while he's trying to be a Christian, like a good, pious Christian.
Hmm.
And I love that he has to battle with that. And, like, they have, like, oh, God, there was the group is the four who are fantastique. Captain, or no, not Captain Rogers, Steve Rogers is, he's a Native American, like an indigenous person that's just a, like a champion of the Native American people.
Interesting.
Because he's Captain America, and it's sure. 1602.
Right, sure. But is he still Steve Rogers?
It's spelled differently.
You know what? He's white, so I like it.
I don't think he is. I'm just... I think you're going to hate it.
You're going to hate it.
I think you're going to hate it because you're so racist.
Oh, man. Okay, so we have a shot of what looks like a roided out tech adapted Rocket Raccoon jumping on a dark elf.
With a glowing red eye.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know what that is. So that,
I have a feeling jumping that's from, same episode as the Nova episode. I don't know
he's
why.
He's jumping from not a dark elf onto the dark elf.
Yeah.
And it looks like there's Skrulls around.
Hmm.
It's either Skrulls or other dark elves.
Yep, there are some, it looks like some Skrulls back there, you're right.
But I think that is, that's either a high evolutionary kind of story.
Oh, interesting.
Where, you know, things have been more and more and more improved, and that's why Rocket has so much extra stuff on him.
Yeah, like what if, oh man, what if Rocket never escaped the high evolutionary and became like one of those creatures that he like had working for him?
It's either that or my thought is the Collector, and there's like a they're staging a breakout.
Mm, yeah, interesting.
Like, what if Rocket got collected or whatever?
Then we got an appearance from Superior Strange.
Yeah,
which is cool, real cool. And I have no. Do you have any idea what this Native American being sucked into, like, a water portal thing is?
Not offhand, no. But it could be that 1602 story.
Yeah, I was just thinking, if that they go with that, there's a shot of that Native American lady standing with Captain Carter. And there's some other boot in the foreground.
I wonder...
Is that, yeah, this is going to be silly fun, man.
Is that going to be Mirage? No, that wouldn't be Mirage.
I have no idea. And then there's someone with a glowing green sword. Like, watching a bunch of, like, what looks like people fall through portals. Like, maybe they're catching those people.
Yeah, it looks like she's portals. Creating those portals.
Yeah. Like, they're catching people as they're
is
falling.
That Blink? Is she making...
No idea, man.
There's no way.
And we definitely have a Killmonger as the Black Panther. Pretty cool, as always.
Do you think that he escaped from his little multiverse prison that Strange is watching over?
I bet so. Like, this is a sequel, so I bet we'll get some revisits from the previous universes. Man.
Oh.
And then this is what... We got a shot of Thanos grabbing Peggy Carter's shield and lowering it. Like, so, yeah, it just seems like there's maybe like a multiverse team on both sides this time. Like, there's the Guardians of the Multiverse, but it seems like maybe there's also going to be like a team of villains that are going to team up or whatever.
Could be. It looks like he has gems in that gauntlet, though.
Yeah.
But they're not glowing.
Maybe he's not the one. Right. Yeah, yeah. I noticed it didn't seem like they were glowing. I didn't know what that means, though.
Could be that they're not from that... Well,
Oh yeah, we don't. We still. We
either
don't,
they're not from that TV universe, and he's just showing up, or he's not activating them, and they don't glow when they're not active.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. They don't really glow because you can always tell which one he's using by which one's glowing. And then we get a great little Christmas thing with a little diehard joke.
Oh wait,
with Happy.
So there seems to be a character that is being sucked into a green portal.
Yeah.
And it looks like a person bearing a Union Jack is holding them.
Mm-hmm. But I can't
and actually,
see
actually, that looks like Loki's scepter sticking
does,
out of the
yeah.
portal.
I can totally see that.
But that looks like a person with very nice... like a man with very nice wavy hair and a mustache. That looks like the 1602 people.
Right. Okay.
So I'm wondering if that's where they put Union Jack. Because they've got the Union Jack on their chest. I wonder if that's Union Jack.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I can see that. I thought
or
that
like
was
a
Captain Carter.
Captain Britain kind of thing.
I thought that was Captain Carter, but you're right. The boots don't look like Captain Carter. They look like kind of swashbuckly.
Yeah, and there's armored shoulders and whatnot.
Yeah, man. I have no clue. But I love it. I did not expect this to go as deep. I was just going to kind of talk generally, but man, we kind of went frame for frame
yeah.
not on purpose here. But yeah.
Sort of accidentally did frame by frame.
Yeah, I just, God, it's so good. And there's like Tony as Santa. And then there's some sort of Avengers team that is in like at 2:15. That's like one of the last shots of the trailer. You've got Hawkeye in the foreground, a version of Iron Man, and then you've got two characters that I'm not sure. It looks like some sort of Captain America, but it doesn't really look like Steve Rogers.
Like, well, it looks like outfits. Steve Rogers in an elf costume.
Oh, that's what it is. You're totally right. You're totally right. And then Black Widow must be in like a Mrs. Claus outfit or something,
or ballerina.
Oh, yeah, she looks like a ballerina.
She honestly looks like Wonder Woman.
She kind of does. Yeah, that must be their holiday outfits, I getcha. Cool.
Oh, that's so much fun.
That is so much fun. And I hope that one comes out on Christmas Day. Dude, we're going to cover that every day. We're going to have a weird couple weeks, man. Because when does Echo drop again? Is it January?
January 10th,
I think. Golly. So... Marvel. Oh, Marvel. The big narrative around Marvel is they've been releasing things too fast and they need to slow down, you know, like Kevin Feige's been talking about slowing things down or whatever. And we're like, oh, that's a bummer. We don't want things to slow down. And then they come to December and they're going to put out an episode every day. And then as soon as that's over, they're going to drop like whatever, 6 or 10 at a time.
Well, it's, the rumor is that it's 5 episodes for Echo.
Oh, okay. But still, you're going to get like almost as many episodes of Marvel in that sort of a time as you've ever gotten. Like, it's going to be like an episode every day for like 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
Man, you know what sucks is that I'm going to be away from my computer when that comes out. I'm going to be out of town. Well, yeah. It may not suck. I'm going to be in Birmingham.
Oh, really? During Echo?
No, during What If?
Dude.
21st through the 26th is when I'm in
We're
Birmingham.
We're definitely doing some of those in person.
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's going to be fun. Coming home for Christmas?
Yes, sir.
Sweet, man. I definitely want to see you. I know you passed through one time earlier this year and I didn't get to catch you.
Yeah. Yeah. There was also COVID happening right then.
Oh, no, this was a good bit after. You had COVID.
Yep.
I see.
Well, not me. The girlfriend had COVID.
Gotcha.
She tested positive that day.
Well, this trailer looks great. No notes. Love it.
Yeah. Perfect as is.
Yep.
Wouldn't change it for the world.
All right. Before we move on, let's hit a quick break. And we'll be right back, guys. Right after this. What do you think about this Madam Web trailer? You know, little Marvel MCU adjacent, obviously, because it's a Sony movie, but they're in the same multiverse these days, so
no.
We got to talk about it.
Do they have to be?
They are, man. They just
Matt,
are.
Matt, it looks like Riverdale.
I hear what you're saying, and I agree. I think there's like definitely a CW quality to this show. Quality is what I was trying to say. Man, sometimes words just don't happen for me.
CW quality to your words.
Yeah, I do. There's definitely like a CW quality to this show. Like, and that's not great.
Yeah.
One
would say not ideal.
I think some of the stuff looks great. Like some of the action looks really cool, and some of the like the costumes and the settings and the camera work, the cinematography, like a lot of it does look really good. But then there are these scenes. It's a thing where they do it where it's just like, let's light this so we make all the actors look as pretty as possible instead of like, let's light this in some cool, moody way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's that CW look. I think that's like quintessential like CW-esque is that like, and I used to say that about like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is shot that way and stuff. Like not all the time, but sometimes you get these shots that are like, oh, that's just so, it's network TV because they got to go fast. They got to film fast. So they like just light everything with soft boxes and make everybody look pretty. And then they just go instead of like lighting things interestingly. And it really does make the quality look worse. And it does feel like they're trying to make these four actresses look as pretty as possible instead of like making them look like interesting characters. And that's a bummer. I don't like that.
Yeah. And the thing that I really, really dislike about this, and it's the classic Sony thing of like, we're going to put out a trailer. It's going to reveal a little bit, but then we're going to put out all kinds of other promo materials that just divulge everything about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I already have a pretty firm understanding of who everybody in that is, and then also what the main twist is going to be.
Like, I think I mostly do too, but I will say, like, I don't know where the story is going. And I think that's something that, like, is a strength of this, is I don't know Madam Web's story very well. I don't know any of these stories very well, any of these character stories, any of the Spider-Woman, Spider-Girl, whoever this character is that's chasing them. I forget the name.
Ezekiel Sims.
Yeah. It looks like they're all spider people from different universes. So we're getting this, like, weird offshoot spider people, kind of introducing the idea of spider people, sort of like Spider-Verse does. You've seen the second Spider-Verse, right?
Yep.
Good. Just check. I'm mostly just
it's
checking.
So great.
That's more of like a checking on you as a human being and seeing how you're doing.
No, I understand.
I don't really have any
I was not doing good for a little bit.
But then Spider-Verse came and changed everything.
Well, that's I didn't see Spider-Verse, or I didn't see the second one right when it came out. I waited until it was available digitally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to see it in theaters.
That's a tough few months.
But I just couldn't get around to it.
Yeah.
But it looks like what they're doing is making a Spider-Vengers, or they're leading up to like multiverse Spider-Vengers.
Right, which is, I mean, that's what Spider-Verse did, and it did it very well, and people love it. But it looks like they're trying to do that, but with like a real dark tone. A very like, you know, but also looking super CW. So like, I don't know. It's like this weird balance of like, let's go real dark. This guy looks like he's trying to murder us because we're spider people from other universes or something. Like he says your future could have been much different. And then it shows a Spider-Woman character. And it's like, okay, so I'm guessing these are the versions of them that did not become those characters. Or are these the versions who have not become those characters yet? And he's trying to stop them from being... So, like, I don't think the whole trailer... I don't think the trailer reveals everything, because I watch it and I'm like, I don't really know what's going on.
But it does reveal a lot. It doesn't look like he's trying to kill them. It looks like he's trying to grab these people so that he can put them in storage. so that he can protect them in whatever way he knows how.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't catch that. You may be right.
Well, the... Do you want me to drop a little bit of a spoiler?
I guess not. I guess I kind of want to. I kind of want to be free of spoilers for this one.
Okay.
I really like. I'm kind of as we've talked about. I'm kind of digging the Sonyverse lately. Like I think they're doing the crossover thing well. We talked about it on that one episode. Ever since then, I kind of am feeling the Sonyverse, and I'm wanting to like. I'm wanting these to be good. I think this trailer looks pretty good, except I think Dakota Johnson's acting in this trailer is trash. I don't know Dakota Johnson from much of anything. I know she 50 Shades of Grey, right? That's like her big breakout hit.
I have no idea who she is.
Okay. Her acting is trash in this trailer. And it could be that it's like weird voiceover acting that in the moment will feel right, you know?
Oh, yeah. I know what part you're talking about because it was the, like, I know this guy. He was with my mom when they were researching South America.
When they were
researching spiders.
South America, they were researching spiders. Like, it just feels so...
It was
terrible.
Like she was reading it. She was absolutely reading it. And it sounded like she was reading it, and it was awful.
Those lines do not feel like acting to me. They feel like the worst. So those two things combined feel super CW to me. Like they feel like an actor who's hired for a role and doesn't really care and is just like booking it through because it's like this is this one script he's got to do for this week or whatever. It's not like a character he cares about, you know, right? It's just that weird thing that CW has of like actors who don't really, they're just reading lines, you know, it just feels sometimes terrible. And then combine that with some of the lighting of this and it does look cheap. In places. I'm hoping that in context that will not be the case because I am excited. I'm excited for Venom 3. I'm excited for this, but mildly so after this trailer. And then I'm excited particularly for Kraven. I think Kraven looks just like, if I didn't know anything else about it, don't know what it's connected to, I think the trailer looks great.
Meh.
I think the trailer looks great. I don't know. I know you don't like the Sonyverse, and I feel you. It's got its problems, but like,
well, I think doing some cool stuff. With this one, it's become so apparent to me that they're going for the Spider-Verse line from comics, which I won't tell you anything about so that it doesn't get spoiled. But anybody who has read about the Spider Totem people, that's what they're leading to, and it's going to be like a Spider-Vengers kind of thing.
Cool. That's cool with me though. Which, that doesn't bother
I mean,
me.
Could be fun if it's Tom Holland and like actually good directors, but like this particular trailer did not sell me on Madame Web being anything more than Riverdale with spider people.
Yeah, I feel that. I really do. So, you know, little column A, little column B. Like I'm generally I'm much more charitable about the Sonyverse than you are right now. So like I'm wanting to like this. But I see all the problems you see. Like, I really do. I think it looks... Like, I think it would be neat to get live-action cool spider people that are interesting and fun, but it doesn't feel like they're going for introducing these characters in a way that I'm really going to love.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, like, you're introducing this person, Madame Web, and then you're also introducing, like, three or four other... spider people all at the same time that all have unique stories and, you know, their own interesting ways of being or, you know, coming about. And then Ezekiel Sims has an interesting backstory and his entire, arc, for lack of a better term, like the things that he does to try to help people is like, it's interesting. It's that like, he's doing bad things for a good reason. So like you kind of feel for him, but also he's a little bit of a dick.
Well, you know, I hear you and it's hard to do. It's a hard thing. It can work if they do one of two things. If they do it, they're willing to try some interesting storytelling techniques like Spider-Verse did, because Spider-Verse did this. I mean, they did this exact thing. All those things you're saying are like hard. They did it perfectly. But they did it by things like those interesting story techniques, like, let me tell you about my story. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. You know, like, I'm Peter B. Parker. And then, like, you know, quick.
That tone is not going to work here. But that's not to say they can't think of another thing to do. And especially with, like, time travel and, like, glimpsing other universes, like, it seems like Dakota Johnson's character is doing, like, it seems like there could be some interesting storytelling devices to give us quick versions of these people's story that, like, could work. And here's what I say. This movie will live or die on whether Andrew Garfield shows up or not. Not joking. 100% real. Like, if Andrew Garfield pops in at the last second, yep. And, like, even if it's just post-credits, like, you're part of a bigger universe than you thought or whatever, like, that would save this movie and, like, make it, like,
what if it's not great. Andrew Garfield? What if it's Tobey Maguire?
I'd be okay with that, too, but I think Andrew Garfield is owed his due. Like, he's Peter 3, and I think he needs his moment. And I think he would give these movies gravitas that, like, an excitement and buzz that it's lacking now. Like, if suddenly we found out all this Spider-Verse stuff is happening, and, like, Venom's popping in and out of universes, all this, these two Spider-Men just came to the MCU, and they're, like, learning how to travel the multiverse because that happened, and maybe she needs a champion, like, the last battle. She's learned to pull things from different universes because she's starting to touch other universes, right? And she's, like, learning to, like, weave her web of Madam Web shit, and she starts pulling, and she needs a champion in the final moment, and she, like, because she's not really a super person. She's more of like a pulling in other people, right? Like, that's kind of her thing a little bit, at least from what I remember in the cartoons. So in the last moment, she pops in a champion, and Andrew Garfield is suddenly on the battlefield to, like, fight the fight. And it'd just be like, okay, this could, and he's like, I just was in another universe. What is going on with these other universes?
Why do I keep getting dragged around like this?
And since suddenly he's our, like, live action multiverse hopping Peter Parker that is, like, that we've had in universe, like, we've had him as Peter Parker for, like, 10 years already. We've had him in 3 movies. Like, we know him, we like him. It would be good, man. It would get me going again for this whole series.
Oh man, I imagine him leaping into battle, like, getting that slow motion punch going, I'm Peter 3.
Like, it's just like the, you know, when they throw the bagel and it says bagel, like, yeah. Every time he throws a punch in the movie, it just says 3, 3, 3. You've been hit with a 3 punch.
Peter 3 punch.
But no, I don't know when that's going to happen, but I feel strongly that Sony is dumb if they're not trying to make that happen. I feel like it is a, like, if it doesn't happen in this movie, it could happen in Kraven, it could happen in Venom 3. Like, I have a feeling they are sitting in the behind the scenes of all these movies, and they're like, when do we pop in Peter 3 and make this happen? The only reason they won't do it is if there's some sort of reason that, like, Peter Parker, like, the Peter Parker sharing they're doing with the MCU means they can only use Peter Parker in the MCU. Like, that's possible. It's possible that the sharing agreement they have with Marvel says that Peter Parker can't be, like, they can't have their own Peter Parker while they have a Peter Parker over there, you know?
Yeah. They're trying.
They're trying.
And you gotta give it to them for trying, at the very least.
Yeah, I agree. And I made the case for it in a previous episode, but I'll kind of say it again. Like, I was really freaking annoyed at the Vulture popping up at the end of Morbius for completely no reason.
Yep.
Made no sense. And then when they wrote it into, they wrote it into Spider-Verse 2, that is what's going on in the multiverse, and that, like, Miguel and his team are going around trapping villains that are showing up in the wrong universes, you know? And then they made it clear that those universes were connected. I was just like, okay, I'm 100% in. And it's even a vulture in the movie that shows you, like, I'm in with the connective tissue. Like, before I was, like, annoyed because they were just, like, they're just grabbing an MCU villain and plucking him out and putting him in. That's stupid. And then they, like, explained it, and it made it so good for me. Like, I just, they sort of backdoor made that make sense, and I just love it. I love that. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that Marvel used to do. I feel like there were a few post-credit sequence that were like, what is going on in that post-credit sequence? And then you get there and you kind of figure it out. You know, like, I remember, like, Winter Soldier with his arm in a vice. You know, and you're just like, what is going on?
That's exactly
on?
The one I was thinking of, too.
What is happening in that scene? And then you jump. Or the twins, you know, like, you kind of know what's going on, but it's like, what is all this? And then you find out later, like, what's going on with Hydra, and, like, I don't know. It's just, I love that kind of stuff. It's like sprinkling, like, a post-credit sequence. There's so many, there's a lot of different things you can do with them, but I think for a long time, the MCU did them perfectly, and I think that suddenly it's been a little lacking lately, and
they can't all be winners.
Spoiler alert for the Marvels, no post-credit sequence.
Yeah.
What the hell? Like, that's the first one, right? I don't think we talked about that on our reaction, did we?
It's not the first one. Endgame did not have.
Yeah, yeah. Anything. But that's different. That's the end of a saga. Like, I understand why they didn't. I don't understand why they did. It's almost like they didn't trust the audience to stay or something, you know? Like, lately they've made the post-credits more and more just jokes.
Thinking on it. The Incredible Hulk did not have a post-credit sequence.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good call.
It had a like a mid-credits with...
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be a post-credits, and everyone loved Tony so freaking much, they were like, don't wait. Like, don't wait 3 minutes. Uh-huh. Like, put it before. No,
that's
true.
Well, that's what I mean, the same sort of thing, where they were like, people aren't going to stick around long enough.
Yeah.
Let's put Tony in there, you know,
their universe is. They're starting to worry that they don't have the cachet to make people stay. And I will say, like, I saw Captain Marvel and more people got up to leave than I've ever seen in a Marvel movie. Like, on opening day, like half the theater just got up and started to leave and didn't wait for even the mid-credit sequence or whatever. So,
nah, man, I sat my ass in that chair all the way through.
Me too. Me too.
I even Googled it. Was like, is there a post-credits? No, I'm going to make sure.
I do that too on opening nights, especially because there's always things like the shawarma scene that like wasn't even on the movie until the week of. So it's like, maybe they added something since this article was written.
Yep.
All right. Well, man, I was planning to do some feedback, but, a little behind
the scenes.
Oh God,
we're already over an
hour. Yeah. We're already about an hour. And like, we'd planned to do 45 minutes because we couldn't record tonight till 10 PM. My time, and I've got to get up at 6 to take Scott to school, so I am gonna call it, I guess.
Okay.
But I feel like we got some good talking in about What If and Madam Web and this Pedro thing. Good time, man. It's good to chat with you.
Likewise, sir.
Can't wait till you're here in a few weeks, and we're gonna watch some, do old school. Let's, like, order some Hungry Howies.
Okay.
And, like, sit around my house.
Kill me.
Sit in my house, eat Hungry Howies all day, and like watch a few episodes of What If or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what we used to do.
They're only doing one episode per day.
Yeah.
So we have to pick the right day.
Yeah, or like we'll just do it one day or whatever.
And just keep coming back. Or I come over at the end of the 22nd, like at the end of the day on the 22nd, and we just carry over 1 to 2.
Yeah, but I kind of want to do them as soon as they drop. Like, this is, it'll be a fun time because, like, I won't have to get up, so I can actually stay up late. And you're going to be on your weird sleep schedule from, like, a lie.
I'll be up forever.
Yeah, you're going to be up forever. We could just do, like, them when they drop. It would be fun, man. I would like
it. It'd be fun.
9 days, we can pull that off. Gonna annoy my family so much. All right. Well, guys, that's all we got. We love you, and we'll do Captain Marvel feedback on Monday or on a Tuesday episode this week. There's a good bit, and we're planning to do it tonight, but so much dropped, so much. We love you very much. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.